Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com, for faith, fellowship, and love. What are you doing this Lent? The St. Paul Center is streaming their newest video Bible study for free, starting Ash Wednesday. Based on Scott Hahn's renowned covenantal theology, this is a study no one should miss. Invite your friends, Catholic or not. Don't miss your chance to see this premium study for free. Go to stpaulcenter.com to sign up today. Do you wish you knew the saints better? Overwhelmed with all the events in Catholic history and just wish you could tie it all together? It's tough work, and even scientists have determined that it takes approximately 400 repetitions to create a new synapse in the brain. Unless it is done with play, in which case it takes between 10 and 20 repetitions. Introducing Saint Cards, where the facts about saints and history are presented in fun and engaging games for ages 4 to 104. Check out Saint Cards at saintcards.com and begin the fun for your family, school, and parish today.
And a good day to you wherever you happen to be listening or watching Catholic Answers Live. I'm Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett today. And we are going to have 2 hours of great Catholic radio coming your way. Jim Blackburn of Catholic Answers, he's a staff apologist. He will be in an hour number two to answer your questions on anything that you want to ask. We're going to throw a bonus open forum Q&A program in there here on a Monday. And in the first hour, we have Bishop Joseph Strickland of the Diocese of Tyler, Texas. And he is going to be talking about a blog post that he has recently written, which talks about glorious chastity. And he really has a lot of wonderful things to say. And he contrasts that with what he calls devastating sex. So Bishop Strickland is one of the really more outspoken bishops on matters of truth in our country, and we are grateful for that. And we're going to bring him into the program for you right now. Bishop Strickland, as I said, is a bishop of Tyler, Texas, since 2012. He's a native Texan. He was ordained to the priesthood for the Diocese of Dallas in 1985. His first assignment as a priest was to Immaculate Conception Parish in Tyler, which would become the cathedral of the new Diocese of Tyler when it was established in 1987. He served in a variety of parish and administrative assignments before being named Bishop of Tyler by Pope Benedict XVI. Your Excellency, thank you for joining us on Catholic Answers Live. Welcome.
Thank you, Jerry.
I don't even need to ask this question, but I have to. You know, why did you feel it was necessary to write a document or a blog post on chastity? Okay, there's a softball question for you.
Well, it has been something that it was sort of percolating in my heart and mind for quite some time, just trying to capture all the different ways that chastity is being ignored and really just ignored in the society today. So obviously it's a softball question because it's one of the key areas, as I talk about in the blog post, that has just broken down. We've forgotten what God has revealed to us, and things are just really going haywire. And so I wanted to just, and it developed over quite some time, but with Valentine's Day, I thought, what better St. Valentine gift than to talk about the truth of how God has made us as men and women, and how the gift of our sexuality for all of us should be guided by chastity.
Catholic Answers Live, Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett with Bishop Joseph Strickland of the Diocese of Tyler, Texas. And we're not going to take your calls this hour. We want to afford the Bishop, His Excellency, the entire hour, really just to share his wisdom and insights on this beautiful blog post. And there are other topics we may get into as well. So if you want to just sit back and relax and enjoy this conversation, we certainly will take your calls. Any apologetics question in hour number two with Jim Blackburn. And so, Your Excellency, you use the word glorious chastity, and many of us may have a sense of what you mean by that, but what's in your mind and your heart when you make a statement or a phrase like that?
Well, I guess the reason I use the word glorious is because it's of God. God is all glorious, and the fact that we're created in God's image is embedded in this whole beautiful gift of our sexuality that has been so distorted in my lifetime. And there's so much brokenness that flows from that. So it really is glory to God and the glorious path He has for us if we will simply follow it and recognize really it's a narrow gate for how we are to live chastely the gift of sexuality. So I guess glorious really simply refers to this is divine revelation. And we need to remember that. This isn't some formulation of anyone. It's what God has revealed to us, spoken of in the book of Genesis. Very clearly, God made them male and female. And that difference and that complementarity truly is glorious if we just allow it to be.
Well, Your Excellency, I mentioned in the introduction of the program that you contrast glorious chastity with what you call devastating sex. I've never heard that phrase used before, but boy, I think it certainly resonates, especially in the hearts of many who are listening to this program right now. Many of us have probably been down that path of devastating sex and by the grace of God perhaps reformed our lives. Others, of course, have loved ones, especially young people, who are now kind of caught in its snare, if you will. Devastating is a strong word, so I presume you're not just using hyperbole, but you really think it is devastating, the full sense of the word.
Truly. Deadly. Devastating. It takes the life away of what God's plan is and what He desires for us. And as you mentioned, as we were discussing, I'm 60 years old. I was born in 1958, 10 years before Humanae Vitae was issued. And the unraveling of the sexual norms that were taken for granted when I was born is devastating. And the world says, oh, just let it be a plaything. Let it be whatever you want. Just distort it and use it in every possible way. Probably most human beings that are of age on the planet today have had some struggle with living the proper role of sexuality in their lives because the world says it is devalued, it's meaningless, just treat it as a toy and throw it away if you choose, do whatever you want with it. And it really is devastating in all the different ways I tried to mention in this blog post.
This is Catholic Answers Live. Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett today with Bishop Joseph Strickland of the Diocese of Tyler, Texas, talking about a blog post that he has written recently called, it is called Glorious Chastity. It's one bishop's reflection, and you can find that at bishopstrickland.com, bishopstrickland.com. Your Excellency, I love it when a bishop is media savvy and social media savvy and all of that, so congratulations on that. Getting back to this conversation, and this is one of the protestations that's always made, especially by, well, not especially by young people, even adults do this. You know, they'll say, well, if the sexual activity is consensual or we both want to do it, you know, who is it hurting? You know, talk about that for a minute, because there are wounds that are being incurred, self-wounds and wounds inflicted on another when this is taking place.
Absolutely. And as you allude to, very often the Catholic faith, it says, oh, they're just always no on sex, no to sex. And actually, if you look at this, at what God has revealed to us, it's really the opposite. Sex is a glorious, beautiful gift that God has given us for the procreation of children and for drawing a man and woman in the intimate commitment of marriage into a knowledge of each other that really is divine and God's plan. But we have distorted that so much that, in some ways, I guess I was hesitant along the way to, because they say, oh, the Catholic Church is always down on sex. But I think certainly there are many other issues that need to be spoken of and addressed in our broken world. But so many times, the brokenness goes back to what sex becomes when it's misused and it's not the narrow path of God's plan. It becomes devastating in ways that denigrate women and that threaten life and that make men forget what being a man really is. All of those are devastating realities in our world today. Women, with all the revolution in sexual norms, have not been more valued, but instead they're losing the precious value that they have. Men are in so many ways losing sight of their role. So certainly everything is not about sex, but it is so basic to us. It's how the human family continues in God's plan. We cooperate with that wondrous design of creativity that God has allowed us to participate in. We're not animals. We're created in the image of God. And so when we forget that, it really begins to devalue the person in more ways than we can count.
Well, we'll continue this conversation in just a moment with His Excellency Bishop Joseph Strickland of the Diocese of Tyler, Texas. Again, if you want to follow him online and see this wonderful article about glorious chastity, log on to bishopstrickland.com, bishopstrickland.com, and you will find it there. And we will get back to our conversation here in a moment. Speaking of needing to know about these important issues, dear friends, I want to encourage you again, as I did last week when I filled in for Cy, to take the 20 answers. Challenge by Catholic Answers. And what it is, we are now just a little over 2 weeks away from Lent starting, and Catholic Answers is challenging you, and hundreds have already accepted the challenge. If you have not yet, please do so. And here's what it is. Catholic Answers has this 20 Answers series, and it's a series of 32 booklets that have 20 answers to various questions about the faith, morality, end-of-life issues, bioethics, abortion, the Eucharist, the Bible. They talk about moral issues and sexuality and the things we're discussing here on the program today. And Catholic Answers is simply inviting you, I would say challenging you, to get a hold of these at a 60% discount right now and work your way through all 32 of the books during the Lenten and Easter seasons. Now, you heard it mentioned last week and probably before that, and you thought to yourself, well, Lent is still several weeks away. Well, guess what? It's 2 weeks from Wednesday. So to make sure you get your booklets in time, place your order today at 888-291-8000, 888-291-8000, or you can order at the shop.catholic.com. In addition to 60% off every set you purchase, you will get free shipping if you live in the continental United States. Again, it's only a little more than 2 weeks until Lent, so get your set of these samplers of the 20 Answer Series ordered as soon as possible. 888-291-8000 or at the shop at catholic.com. We'll continue with Bishop Strickland in just a minute.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live is proudly supported by CatholicChemistry.com, a new dating site for Catholics who want to do dating right and believe relationships start with Catholic chemistry. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicChemistry.com for their generous support on the web at CatholicChemistry.com.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
He is honored by the Church as a saint with the title of the Angelic Doctor.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Thomas Aquinas wrote a basic textbook for young theology students that became the Church's most famous guide to the faith, the Summa Theologica. It helped him earn the title Doctor of the Church. He died in 1274.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Great to be with you on this Monday, a holiday for many of you if you had the day off. I hope that you have had a chance to get a little bit of maybe some things done, a little bit of extra rest. We actually have Bishop Joseph Strickland of Tyler, Texas with us on his day off, so we're so very grateful for that. I guess as a bishop, do you ever really actually truly get a day off? I mean, you probably always have something on your mind, don't you?
Oh, definitely something on your mind. Very occasionally I'll get an actual full day off, but really I kind of consider a day off when I don't have anything in the morning that I have to get up for, that I can just get up and just have a leisurely morning. But, you know, many people have that kind of lifestyle, husbands and wives, mothers and fathers that are working hard. So I get enough time off to stay sane, I hope.
Well, you're sounding sane so far on the program, so hang in there. We got about 30 minutes to go.
Okay.
We're talking with Bishop Strickland about a wonderful article that he wrote, Glorious Chastity, One Bishop's Reflection. You'll find that at bishopstrickland.com on the internet. And we're grateful for all that you have imparted to us so far. We left off kind of with this idea of consensual sexual intimacy between people who are not married, that it's not hurting anybody. Well, you answered that beautifully. And you also, I think you sort of alluded to this, but this is a point that the culture and even many Catholics, quite frankly, have a tough time wrapping their heads around. The church is not saying no to sex, but rather the church is saying yes to the beauty, to the glory of chastity, as you're pointing out in your blog post, but when engaged in the appropriate context. Talk about that.
Well, absolutely. And I think that that's where we really, as Catholics, as believers in Jesus Christ, we need to get back to what God's plan really is. And it is full of life, full of gifts and blessings that are still there. And we simply need to choose to embrace it. One reflection, as it happens, you're probably well aware that the daily readings are from the book of Genesis right now. And just last Friday, I have Mass, the 7 o'clock Mass at our cathedral here in Tyler at 7 o'clock on Friday mornings. And last Friday, the reading was from Genesis, where Adam and Eve had just blown it. They'd eaten of the apple, and they were hiding themselves. And what really struck me is that we still try to do that. We try to hide from God what our sin is. And in our Catholic faith, we have the beautiful gift of the sacrament of confession. So much that is broken in the church today could have been healed and taken into the light of God through the sacrament of confession, with bishops or priests or laity or whoever has committed a sexual sin, if everyone simply said, I've got to go to confession. I've got to not hide that, which God already knows. God knows everything, of course. But I think that that's something we really need to help people put back together. That when we sin, we all sin in some way. And sexual sins are prevalent in our families, in our community, in all the human family. If we would, rather than trying to hide it, trying to cover it up, if we would simply acknowledge, yes, Lord, I've sinned, and trust in His mercy, in the beautiful sacrament of confession, that is the opposite of hiding and cover up. And so much of that has corrupted the church and our society in so many ways. And that's where a lot of the devastation, just the act, is devastating. When our sexuality is not used properly. But then the efforts to cover it up just multiply that devastation. I hope and pray that we can all remember, as I need to remember, as all of us, whatever our sins, don't pretend that we can hide them from our loving God. He still loves us, even when we have sinned. But He's given us the beautiful sacrament where we go to a priest who represents that mercy of Christ. That's real mercy, facing our sin and being freed from it. rather than just glossing it over. I honestly have gotten very frustrated with national figures and even other leaders in the church that seem to just want to gloss it over and say, oh, let's just embrace everyone. Absolutely. But embrace them into God's mercy and forgiveness. I urge everyone, if you're watching this and it sort of pricks your conscience of maybe whatever sin you've committed, sexual or not, go to confession. I celebrate the sacrament often, and all of us should, because that is where we don't hide from God, whatever our sin is, but we joyfully acknowledge, not that we're sinners, we're certainly sad that we once again have failed, but the joy is in God's mercy. We're cutting off that mercy when we refuse to go to the sacrament of confession. And I would wager that many of the things that have made national headlines about the church, about abusive priests, or whatever it may be, those people didn't go to confession because there's grace there. The Spirit of God is there to wash over us. I've felt it. Many of us have felt that mercy and forgiveness. And that is where we need to go. When sex becomes devastating in whatever form, then we say, Lord, I have sinned. Let's not try to hide it, because we can't. Ultimately, all the efforts at cover-up, they collapse eventually. The Lord has always known the sinfulness that's in the church, the sinfulness that's in the human family. And so let's embrace His mercy. Let's open the door to that confessional and trust in the Lord's forgiveness as Christ walked this earth. He's constantly saying, your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. We have to say both things. Your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. In the old language of the church, firm purpose of amendment, to do our best. And we will stumble again in some sinfulness or other as we're part of this life. But let us trust in mercy. And I think in the area of sexual sin, if every person in the world simply said, I need to get to confession, for one thing, the priest would be very busy.
Right.
But that's okay, because they would be instruments of the Lord's mercy, forgiving sin that's harmed a family member or harmed a coworker or harmed someone who is under our authority. If we look at all that's happened in the church and in our society, going to confession and simply, honestly, opening our hearts to the Lord, who already knows all and still loves us, that is the best therapy we could have for the broken world we all live in.
Catholic Answers Live, our guest this hour, Bishop Joseph Strickland of the Diocese of Tyler, Texas. We're not taking your calls this hour. We simply want to afford His Excellency the entire hour here to share reflections on a real beautiful blog post that he put at bishopstrickland.com. It is called Glorious Chastity, One Bishop's Reflection. And there are maybe some other issues that we're going to talk about during the course of this hour, time permitting, but there is a lot more ground that we have yet to cover here. You certainly have access to the phone lines and hour number two with Jim Blackburn for a kind of a bonus Monday Q&A open forum program here on Catholic Answers Live. I'm Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett. And Your Excellency, one of the obvious disadvantages, and it's not unique to our age, but it seems like with cultural mores having, broken down, if not utterly collapsed, in the last generation or two, everybody, not just young people, but the access to pornography, the images, the stimuli that are in front of us that are promoting, any and all forms of sex are okay, and just do what you want, do what feels good. It's everywhere in front of us. The need to be not only vigilant, but even prior to that, have a strong moral foundation, I don't think has ever been more important. And I'd love your thoughts on that.
Well, absolutely. The strong moral foundation is what sets us free from sin and brokenness and allows us to live a joyful life. One of the things that's frustrated me in a lot of the things that have gone on recently is sometimes we forget to talk about the good news. We all know that that's what gospel means, good news. This is a joyful message that God has revealed to us. If we look at broken lives, the devastation that misusing the gift of our sexuality causes is rampant in our world. And so we need to go back to that good news. What has God revealed to us? And it's revealed simply in how He's made a man and a woman, a beautiful complementarity that comes down to biology and physiology, the way our bodies are made, the way the hormones work, the way men are different from women. All of that is God's plan, God's design to help us truly be happy, to flourish. It doesn't take away all the issues that we face and the problems that we encounter in life. We still live in a sinful world. That's the result of the fall of Adam and Eve. But we need to go back to what God has revealed to us through His Son to allow us to be freed from that world. I'm reading right now beautiful books that remind me when we go to the Eucharist that we are called to live in a new age. We have heavenly food, and we are called to live in a different life. Just this morning, reflecting on the joyful mysteries of the Rosary, the Annunciation, I think we all need to realize a new world has been announced. And we forget that so often because sin is still here. And we're all sinners, and we're prone to get caught up in that sin. But we need to go back to what has God revealed to us? The saints remind us constantly. When we embrace that, then life is joyful. There is good news for us. And that doesn't mean the brokenness isn't there as well, and that we all struggle with that. But going back to the moral codes that say that you should be chaste in all things, that's kind of a startling message, especially even for the married couple that is Catholic and married in the church, to recognize that they are to live their sexual lives chastely. Certainly, with every other person except their spouse, they are to be chaste and respectful, but even with their spouse. It's a revolution of truth that needs to be embraced once again.
Now, I want to actually stay on that point when we come back, Your Excellency. It's Catholic Answers Live. Bishop Joseph Strickland of Tyler, Texas, with us here on the program. I'm Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett today, talking about His Excellency's beautiful blog article, It's Glorious Chastity. Again, you will find that at bishopstrickland.com. More wisdom from the bishop and more of Catholic Answers Live straight ahead.
Catholic Answers Live.
Author Mark McNeil spent years in the Oneness Pentecostal movement, praying in its lively services, zealously spreading its unconventional teachings, and rejecting mainstream Christianity as misguided. Then he left it all behind. All in the Name is the story of a man who believed he was among an elite group of believers who followed the true faith when so many others had strayed. But an inquisitive mind, careful study, and the action of the Holy Spirit finally led Mark out of Oneness Pentecostalism and into the Catholic Church. This is an inspiring conversion story you won't want to miss. It's a faith strengthener for Catholics and an intriguing challenge to those who deny the doctrine of the Trinity. Order your copy of All in the Name today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Is the church wrong on contraception? In a culture that worships the pursuit of sexual pleasure, the Catholic Church's teaching on contraception can seem archaic and unintelligible. Its critics say it's outdated, theologically unfounded, and even harmful. And even faithful Catholics can have difficulty explaining this moral teaching. Catholic Answers is out to change all of that. That's why we've just released Trent Horn's dynamic new DVD, The Case Against Contraception. Using scripture, papal and magisterial teachings, natural law, and new insights provided by social science and medicine, Trent puts forward a compelling case for Catholic teachings with his trademark charity and persuasive graciousness. Be prepared to give a defense. Order your copy of The Case Against Contraception today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic? Let's talk about it on Call to Communion tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
We are so blessed you're with us here on Catholic Answers Live. Thank you for your prayers, your financial support of the program, and of EWTN and all of the networks that carry the program. And thank you to the affiliates for carrying Catholic Answers Live for, these 21-plus years. Thanks be to God. Talking this hour with Bishop Joseph Strickland of the Diocese of Tyler, Texas. Don't forget, we will open up the phone lines for any and all faith questions, apologetics questions, with Jim Blackburn in our second hour today. Just want to give His Excellency this whole hour for himself, because he has written this beautiful article on his blog, Bishop Strickland. Strickland.com, titled Glorious Chastity, One Bishop's Reflection, in which he contrasted glorious chastity with what he called devastating sex. And we've already talked about that a little bit, but going into the break, Your Excellency, you were on the topic of chastity within marriage. Some people, I suppose, might confuse that and say, well, no, if I'm married, I don't have to be chaste, but they're thinking I don't have to be celibate. So if you can expound upon that a little bit, and how, maybe to the surprise of some people, they can live unchastely within a marital union.
Well, absolutely. And it's probably, in today's culture, very countercultural, but I think we need to look at what chastity really is within marriage. And yes, I would define it as following God's plan. And so much of married life is not doing that today because of contraception. Humanae Vitae is a document, as we all know. We just celebrated its 50th anniversary. And I have to say that bishops like myself, 50 years ago, the vast majority of them basically ignored Humanae Vitae and its message, or outright denied it and protested it. And many Catholics followed suit. And basically, we live in a world where, thankfully, more people, Catholic and non-Catholic Christians, are coming to recognize that chastity within marriage means following God's plan and not using contraception, not ever treating your spouse, even though, yes, you're married to them, but still you should treat them with the greatest respect and recognize that your sexual intimacy should always be open to God's creative plan, to bringing children into the world. And pornography, I know, has devastated many marriages, and I'm sure statistically Catholic marriages are as affected by the scourge of pornography as any other marriage. That is an area where the chastity within marriage is threatened deeply, and it's destroying marriages, because the whole gift of sexuality becomes distorted. Because pornography is strictly about pleasure sensors and all of that emptiness of the person. There is no person there. They're being devalued as simply an object of pleasure. And it's so easy for, as a man, I can see how easy it is for men to fall prey to that. It's probably not exclusive to men, but there's something about pornography that is especially harmful to men. And it can easily cause them, even just emotionally and psychologically, even if they're doing everything right, if they're approaching their spouse as a pleasure center instead of giving of themselves for the benefit of their beloved wife, then that is broken. And it affects many marriages that are undermined, if not destroyed, because of that lack of a real spirit of chaste love for the other. Christ's love is the perfectly chaste love that He models for us. all of us fail in living up to that kind of perfectly chaste love. But we are called to love the other. And that is what Christ models for us. So I urge married couples to really together pray that you can begin to deepen that valuing of each other. And it has to be in the context of not using contraception, not using artificial means of any kind, and being open to God's plan and taking the time with natural family planning. If you really have good reasons to not conceive a child right now, then to use those natural methods, to use the time that God has given us, that natural infertility period, to use that in order to regulate the openness to conceiving a child. But we're so far from that in much of our society, in much of Catholic society today. We have a long way to go, but there's such joy and such hope for married couples to really embrace that kind of chastity for their married life.
And let's talk for a minute about unmarried people. Chastity, of course, you've touched upon many of these points. The first thing that they probably think of is, okay, I'm not married, so I can't engage in sexual intimacy, the marital act, and so forth. But chastity, obviously, as you're already alluding, but maybe you can expound upon for a minute, you know, involves more than just simply abstaining from sexual activity.
Absolutely. Our minds are a very important part of who we are as created in God's image. We have an intellect that is able to embrace beauty and to embrace evil. And I think that living chastely in today's society, it's a tremendous challenge for men and women because we're bombarded with images. Turn on a television and you won't be watching for very long without seeing some image that alludes to some sort of sexual attractive aspect. Even sports cars are talked about as being sexy. And so it pervades everything in our society. I think we have to recognize that. And for unmarried people, it really is such a revolutionary idea that if you're not married, you don't have sex. The most young people, and I've talked to good young people that are seeking to be faithful Catholics, but that is so countercultural in today's world that is just pervaded with sexual imagery that probably many people, if probably not watching this right now, but many people in society would simply laugh at what I'm talking about. But it is no laughable matter. It is tragic that we've come so far from understanding that sexuality is a gift that allows us to be co-creators with God. And when it's taken out of that context, and for a single person or for two people of the same sex to enter into sexual activity, there's no way they're going to be co-creators with God. And that is the root reason why those sins of sexual pleasure by yourself or with another person of the same sex, that's why it's wrong. That doesn't deny the value of any of the persons involved. One person individually committing masturbation doesn't mean that they should be thrown away as a person or forget their value, but they're harming themselves because of an abuse of themselves. We call it self-abuse. And I think we need to remember that tendency, that temptation to have sexual pleasure, when it's not properly channeled to the other and to be a co-creator with God, it brings devastation. And that it's all bound up with pornography and even considered pornography, but as a 60-year-old, when I was in grade school, the things on television, the things you would see in a magazine, the things on a billboard even, we see things now that would have just blown us away to see when I was 10 years old. The society has lost its grip on what a chaste expression is of what a man's body and what a woman's body, how it should be treated. Clothing and just all the imagery is, as they say, sex sells. Mm-hmm. And it's used as a sales pitch so often, when really it is a beautiful gift of God's love that should be used to co-create with Him in the proper circumstances of a man and woman committed in marriage and open to children.
Yeah. I've shared this on my other show, by the way, for those who don't remember, I co-host Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWT, many of these affiliates, Monday through Friday at noon. And I shared one time as I was driving along the freeway, Your Excellency, near where I live, there's a driveway paving company that has this, I'm not going to describe the woman that's on the billboard, but, you know, you scratch your head and you say, well, I don't see what that has to do with paving your driveway. But of course, you just alluded to the fact of what it has to do with paving your driveway. And that's how you get, you know, men who need their driveways paved to remember the billboard. But setting that aside, we got a break in a couple minutes. Would you, there may be people listening right now. Everything you shared is loving. It's truthful. It is God embracing us in our humanity and the dignity in which He created us. There may be some people feeling right now, okay, I've made mistakes in this area of my life. I'm broken. I'm damaged. I'm not a worthy person. I can't make a new start. You know, how do you get people to maybe turn that thinking around and realize that you've already said that God loves them, but how can they love themselves again?
Well, I think we look to Christ. Beautiful stories in the gospel. And the one that I've reflected on a lot in these recent months is the woman caught in adultery. Because it really kind of captures the whole, all of the different movements. The woman's caught in sin. We need to ask the question, well, where's the man that was involved in this adultery? But in the gospel story, it's just a woman caught, which was certainly one of the challenges in the culture that Christ faced in His time. And He finds this woman who was there ready to stone her. And then He says, let the one without sin throw the first stone, and of course they all walk away. And then Christ says, no one's condemned you. And she says, no, they haven't. And then, nor do I. Go and sin no more. And so Christ shows us, He embraces this woman, who is evidently a public sinner. Nobody said, oh, well, she didn't sin, so we won't throw stones. They just said, well, I've sinned too, so I'm not going to be the first to throw a stone. So Christ gives us a beautiful model there of recognizing we're all sinners. Sexual sin or whatever form it takes, sin is sin. Sometimes it's mortally devastating. It's deadly sin. And so often sexual sin is deadly because it's so life-giving when it's done properly, when sex is valued as God's plan. So I would say to anyone who's sinned, and certainly with sexual sin, even if it's been in a long-term relationship or maybe deeply addicted to pornography or whatever the devastation is, don't devalue yourself and forget that Christ's merciful message is the same to that woman caught in adultery as it is to each of us. I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more. Those are the two movements of Christ's mercy. He doesn't condemn us. Even He knows that we have sinned. And probably for many of us, He knows more deeply and clearly than maybe we've even figured out where our real sinfulness is. But God's mercy is always there. So I think we look to Christ. And I urge anyone who's listening who maybe says, finally, they're willing to face the reality that, yes, devastating sex has harmed their life. Don't give up. Don't discount the mercy of Christ. As I mentioned earlier, as a Catholic, simply go to confession. If you're not Catholic, go to someone that you trust and acknowledge that you need to embrace the mercy that Christ offers to the human family. He offers it to all of us, and we need to trust that his mercy is real. I think that so often the tendency, especially among young people, but really all of society today, is with sexual sins especially, oh, well, just kind of live and let live. If it's two consenting people, they can do what they want. But I think real love says, no, sex is a gift that is a narrow path. It is a narrow gate that God has given us. But no one should be denigrated or devalued or harmed because they've sinned in whatever way. But they should be called to God's mercy and forgiveness. But to leave them in the sin and say, well, let's embrace them, but not pull them away from that darkness. Ultimately, that's a false mercy that is very pervasive in the world today and in the church.
Yeah. We will continue with Bishop Joseph Strickland of Tyler, Texas, momentarily here. Going to shift gears a little bit, talk about a couple other things. Get your apologetics and faith questions ready for Jim Blackburn in our second hour of Catholic Answers Live today. The number is 888-318-7884. No reason you can't get on board right now. If you've got a few minutes to hang on until the second hour, Jim will be happy to help you out with that. In the meantime, Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett, and I'm inviting you to join me in downloading the free ebook from Catholic Answers that I certainly hope and pray that I will find time to go through during Lent or maybe even before that. Certainly make it perhaps a regular resource in my library. It's called Growing Closer to God, What is the Interior Life? And it's an ebook that is free, absolutely free, from your trusted friends at Catholic Answers. If you've ever, maybe you've heard the phrase, the interior life, before, and maybe you've thought it has to do with your biological makeup inside and how your food is digested and all of that. Well, actually, it kind of has to do with how your spiritual food is digested and distributed to the other parts of your soul, you might say. So if you've ever wondered how to develop a deeper interior life, know God better, have a stronger relationship with him, and be able to receive his grace and enlightenment and all the gifts that he gives you and share them with your family and friends in a more impactful way, this resource will help you do that. It's available at shop.catholic.com, or if you happen to be on Facebook right now, or you can get to Facebook, just go to the Catholic Answers Facebook page and you will find a link to download it right there. So again, either at the Catholic Answers Facebook page or shop.catholic.com. Free ebook, Growing Closer to God, What is the Interior Life? No reason not to go get that, because there is absolutely no cost to you and you will benefit greatly from it. All right, we will continue with Bishop Strickland when we come back here on Catholic Answers Live.
Got questions? Visit us today at Catholic.com.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
Just turned 31. Feel that I'm being called to the priesthood. And I've been attending daily mass and just finding that falling more in love with Jesus every day and finding more opportunities to, you know, make sacrifices for him myself and just allow him to enter me more. You know, how do we fully surrender to God and to his will so that we can more clearly hear his calling?
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Really good to have you with us on Catholic Answers Live. Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett. What a great joy it's been this hour to be on with Bishop Joseph Strickland of the Diocese of Tyler, Texas. Again, if you want to read his entire blog post, Glorious Chastity, you can go to bishopstrickland.com and you will find that blog post right there, and so much else that His Excellency shares from his pastoral heart to his not only his flock in Tyler, Texas, but of course to the global flock around the world, given the technology that we have available to us. So again, that's bishopstrickland.com. And I wanted to move in a little bit of a different direction in these final few minutes here, because I know, Your Excellency, you expressed outrage, understandably, when New York legislators celebrated abortion by passing the recent bill that they did, basically basically allowing a living baby outside the womb in no uncertain terms to be murdered. And you tweeted at that time, you said, "Woe to those who ignore the sanctity of life. They reap the whirlwind of hell." That's pretty outspoken, but certainly not too far off the mark, perhaps. We don't judge souls, but that really struck you when they did that, didn't it?
Absolutely. It was diabolical is the word. It was really horrendous. The words are not strong enough to express, and it really showed their hand, I think, a recognition that they're not recognizing the value of another person, an unborn person that is there, and that really is the root of abortion at whatever point in a pregnancy. Certainly the church, Catholic Church, teaches that life is sacred from conception to natural death. There have been in the past even maybe a lack of biological understanding or an unwillingness to focus and at least a veneer of saying, well, it's really not a child, and so the woman has a right over her body. In many ways, I think what the New York legislature did, and sadly others seem to be following, is it really gives us an opportunity to say, okay, let's just be honest here and let's see what we're really saying. The reality is that the New York legislature said that if you have the power and you have the strength to kill an unborn child, because they don't have any power or strength, then you're free to do so. The reality is, as I said, it is murder. It is infanticide. And it really shows that unborn child is not valued, and therefore another person can make the choice to end the life of that person, to commit murder. So I think we need to be outraged, and frankly, it was even more outrageous that too many people that were captured in that video claimed to be Catholic. That simply is not Catholic. They are Protestants. Maybe they are living in a Catholic world in some way, but they have protested some basic teachings of the church. Many of our non-Catholic brothers and sisters are with us in supporting the sanctity of life. But in this way, here they are claiming to be Catholic, and yet they're protesting the value that God has revealed to us and that science certainly underscores. There's no scientific explanation for being able to say, well, this child that is in the womb 1 minute, it can be gotten rid of. And now I suppose even when they have been born, from what they're saying, well, if the parents decide or the mothers decides that they, after all, don't want this child, and maybe there's some, they're not perfect. But all of that is just recognizing what has always been underlying the abortion mentality, that this person doesn't have the right to life because we're strong enough and we have a position where we can eliminate them if we choose to. It simply erodes what God has given us in the sacred gift of life. And as we see at the other end of the spectrum, too much erosion of the end of life issues as well. But certainly the whole reality of these legislatures, very sinister approach to recognizing that as we move possibly as a nation to a Supreme Court that might overturn Roe versus Wade, these individual states are deciding, well, we've got to get control of this in our own hands. And so we'll make it possible to murder children whenever we decide. And so it really becomes pretty arbitrary to decide when is too old for a child to be eliminated, that a mother or a father or both determine that this child doesn't deserve life.
Mm. Well, on that note, Your Excellency, we are up against the clock here. I just want to encourage people to follow you, as I do and have been for a long time, on Twitter. It's at Bishop of Tyler, at Bishop of Tyler. You can follow Bishop Joseph Strickland there. And if we can get a blessing from you to all of us and our listeners as we bring this hour to a close, we would be very grateful for that.
Certainly. We ask God to bless all of us and to guide us in the wondrous truth that He's revealed to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Your Excellency, thank you so much. Our prayers are with you. And thank you, as always, for your courageous stance. And even more than that, just your day-to-day, all your beautiful shepherding of the people of the Diocese of Tyler. And we send you with our prayers and blessings. And thank you for being with us. Thanks for your time here on the program today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Jerry.
Bishop Joseph Strickland of the Diocese of Tyler, Texas. Again, follow him on Twitter, and you can find his blog online at bishopstrickland.com. Hour number two is straight ahead here, just moments away. And if you'd like to start dialing for that right now, you are more than welcome to do that. Here is the phone number. It's 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. What are we doing in the second hour on this Monday? It's a Q&A open forum program. So those are probably the most popular shows. The phone lines do fill up fast. So whatever faith question you would like to ask, Catholic Answers' Jim Blackburn is going to be here to answer your questions on apologetics, the sacraments, Mary, the Eucharist, moral questions. We can talk about prayer, spirituality, whatever you would like. So we need those phone lines filled up when we come back right after the top of the hour, 888-318-7884. Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett. Debbie Giorgiani and I are with you Monday through Friday at noon Eastern and again midnight Eastern on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. You can learn about that show at the website, take2show.com. Back with Jim Blackburn and your questions for right after this.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.